I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do so whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Brother Bill.
Okay. Good morning. Paul, next to you where I sat underneath is my bag. There's those books we studied. One is loose. It isn't bound together with the rubber band. Would you bring that one to me, please? I forgot that. Thank you. This is conscientious objection to military service. And we being religious, conscientious objectors to taking part in military service in the United States. I am not sure that the order is still in effect. I haven't looked into it in a long time. Does anybody know if you still have to register when you're 18? You do. Okay. You still have to register when you're 18. It doesn't just affect boys anymore. It affects girls too. And we got some that are 15 going on 16. And some 14 going on 15, and so on and so forth. And one day they'll have to face this. Of course, if Christ does not return before, but it is our hope and desire that he will soon return to the earth and cause these functions to cease. When they shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So saith Isaiah the prophet. That is yet to come true. We read the foreword in this book this morning, and I was impressed by something that was said here, and I want to share it with you. Jenny read this section. It is in the final chapter that perhaps the most important point of all is made. Namely, that no amount of knowledge and preparation... What am I doing wrong?
Maybe lower it just a little bit.
Sounds like it's coming back at me.
There you go.
That no amount of knowledge and preparation can make up for the most vital of all ingredients in every case. What do you think that is?
Faith.
Huh?
Faith.
Faith. Okay, faith is a good word. Faith is an excellent word because it works in us to bring forth something. I am the true vine and my Father is a husbandman. Christ says, I am the true vine. The word true, that word is alethenos, means genuine, denotes true in the sense of real, ideal, not a copy, not foggy, but true, in that nothing or no one could change his, Christ's, identity. He is the true vine. He is the real vine. He is genuine. So he says, no amount of knowledge or preparation can make up for the most vital of all ingredients in every case, every child we raise. And we first should have this in our own lives so our children can see it. So they have something to look at and see that this is what I should be. The genuineness, the real thing of the applicant, manifested by his consistency in living the life required of the truth. I thought that was an excellent statement. Because that's the position we stand in. That's what we need to teach our children. And we have to be that in order to teach them that. Peter. Scriptures give us examples. And Peter was an example to us in something that took place. John 13. Afraid I can't remember exactly, so I'll read it to you. John 13, starting with verse 31. This is when Judas had left, and so Jesus was there with the other 11 disciples. Therefore, when he was gone out, that was Judas, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another, or if you have love for each other." And Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's what Peter said. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me once, twice, three times. Three times you will deny me. So here is Peter, in a sense, magnifying himself, or boasting maybe, or bragging a little bit that he would lay down his life for Christ. That's what he said. Now let's go to the 18th chapter of John. Start with the 16th verse. They had taken Jesus and brought him into the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest. Excuse me. Peter had followed along with John. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They say therefore unto him, Art not thou as one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So three times Peter denied Christ after saying to him he would lay down his life for him. So we understand the workings of the flesh, that law of sin and death which was passed upon Adam in the garden when he sinned against God, when he transgressed, when he crossed over. And that has its effect on us to this day. All of Adam's progeny has been affected by sin in the flesh. It's called the devil in the Bible, but in reality, it's sin in the flesh. I've always said, Brother Dunaway used to say, if you want to see the devil, stand in front of the mirror. Take a look at him. Now, in other places, it speaks of Peter weeping bitterly over what he realized he did when the cock crew. One instance says Jesus turned and looked upon him. You know, that would be pretty difficult to think about, to take, to understand, you know. Here you said you would lay down your life for him, and what did you do? Denied him not once, not twice, but three times. Now we talk about the scriptures, the various things that the scriptures say, and I often wonder, don't misunderstand me, I think about this myself, toward myself first of all. I don't lay anything on you that I don't lay on myself first. And as I told the children this morning, the desires of the flesh don't just hang in them by themselves. It's not just because they're young and want to branch out and burst out of the bubble and take charge of their life and do anything and everything to satisfy their desires. Not just them. It's all us old people too. It never ceases. From the day you're born till the day you die, we're subject to sin, disease, and death. We're subject to the ways of the flesh. The only way we can have salvation is to get out of Adam and into Christ in the waters of baptism. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have the desires any longer. They're there. But we must, as Christ did, being our example, overcome them. We've got to destroy them and get rid of them, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to destroy them, not let them have the supremacy over us. Now, along with the three denials that Christ made, in the 21st chapter of John, starting with the first verse, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which were John and his brother. And Simon Peter said, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we go with thee. So they went fishing. Fished all night. So in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. He kept himself from them. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So many fishes caught in the net, yet the net brake not. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And the other disciples, Peter cast himself into the sea with his coat, because he was on the ship naked evidently, or about naked. I'm sure he had his loincloth on. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And they didn't ask who it was, they knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus took bread and fish and gave it to them, and this is the third time that he showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know, Peter said, when Jesus asked, Who do people say that I am? What answer did he come up with? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who Christ was. He said he would lay down his life for him. But he denied him three times. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This is the second time. So if somebody says something to you twice, you know, they, well, I guess he wants to impress it on me. So you can accept that and go on. Then he comes back to you the third time. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This was three times that Jesus did this to Peter. And it was three times that Peter denied Christ. This could have been revenge for what he did, but it was not. Not in any sense. Don't ever think it. Christ was instructing him. He told him in another place that he prayed for him because Satan, the sin in the flesh, wanted to have control of him. But he prayed for him that he would be turned or saved. So we have the number 153 in fishes. So one, the number one pertains to God. The number one pertains to God. The number five pertains to grace, unmerited favor, to mercy. And the number three, of course, pertains to divine perfection. So we have God providing through his grace, unmerited favor, and his mercy, divine perfection in human beings through his Son, Christ Jesus, when he returns to make up his jewels and bestows upon him the gift of eternal life. You think we can really and truly love God? Think it's possible? Is there no man that can love God? Do we come here every Sunday, first day of the week, to meet around the table of our Lord to remember his sacrifice? Do we love him? Let's take a look at Matthew 22. Couldn't figure out why I couldn't find it, and here I was in Luke. Pays to look at the book too you're reading from. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now let's read it from Mark 12. Mark 12. Starting with verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the last one is Luke 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now when we look at these things, you know, we say, He wants us to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. How do we do that? Is that possible? Can we put forth that kind of an effort? Well, let's see. I'm going to read you what love is. The two that I like and that I use are phileo and agape, whatever. But those are the two that I use. And phileo is found in the Bible and the manuscripts as they found them. It expresses the affection of tender affection and true friendship. That's what phileo expresses. It expresses that which is of a personal regard. And from this comes philos, which means a friend. So, it is the ability for us to express tender, true affection. That is what is required of us. This kind of love can be shown to an enemy as well as a friend. This word is never found outside of the Bible. The world does not know what this word means. It relates to a self-sacrificing desire to serve, motivated by an enlightened mind. That's what agape is. It can be shown to an enemy as well as a friend. And it relates to a self-sacrificing desire to serve, motivated by an enlightened mind. Now, would you say our minds are enlightened and that we're motivated by this enlightened mind? My answer is yes. We have this complete book. We are not without knowledge. The only reason we couldn't love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourselves is because we neglect the Word of God, which Paul says is able to make us wise unto salvation and to save our souls. I like those scriptures that he brings out because that's what the Word does to us. It makes us wise to salvation. And being wise to salvation through the Word, we can have salvation. It is able to save our souls if we hearken to it. I was thinking the other day, how much time in 24 hours do I spend with the book? Do I spend in prayer? Do I spend in meditation toward my God? Toward doing the things that are required of me. Visiting the sick, the afflicted, the widow, and who else? Huh?
In prison.
Thank you. Go to the 25th chapter of Matthew. Now, before I read a little bit of this, loving God with all your heart is with all our affections and our desires. That's what it means. So to love God with all our heart is with all our affections and our desires. And to love Him with all our soul is to love Him with life itself. He has given us this life to live, but unto Him. Adam and Eve were to bring glory and honor and praise to His name. Did they? No. They sure didn't. But He requires us, who are His people, to manifest Him in all that we do, in our entire life. To love Him with all our mind is to love Him with our reasoning ability. Our reasoning ability. To love Him with all our strength is to love Him with spiritual intensity. Spiritual intensity. Now listen, the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered, should be out of all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. These are not the nations of the world He's bringing together to judge at this time. This is a household of faith. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And in following this, which is said here, they did this. They did this because this was part of their life. This was a giving of their life for what they believed in. This was the way they did things. And this is what we have to manifest in our lives to our what? Children. They see us. We are their model. They follow after us. They're with us more than with anybody else, for the most part. And they see what we are, and they see what we do. And they see that we live the truth according to God's word, that we do have for Him a great love, because we strive to manifest Him in our lives. And those who didn't went away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said two things which I've always been impressed with. One was, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. What kind of a mind did Christ have? He did always those things that pleased the Father. He was obedient even unto the death on the tree. He laid down his life for his friends. Excuse me. And the other one is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And if we believe this word and obey it and live according to it, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Thank you.